Hi everyone, welcome back to Board Study Buddy. Today we're going to be talking about genetics, and by we, I mean me, and the audience is also me. It's fun if you stumbled across this. I hope it could maybe like help you a little bit with your crazies during board study. Good luck, and let's hop right in. Okay, so we're going to talk about some of the general things about genetics first. Let's talk about RNA interference. So microRNA will form hairpin structures, which is due to loose nucleotide pairing. This creates broad mRNA targeting, binds and blocks mRNA translation, and it might facilitate degradation. So the hairpin structures, I don't know if you've seen them, but they look like little tiny T's. These hairpins or such abnormalities can actually contribute to malignancy. The example that First Aid gives is just tumor suppressor genes in general. And then we have small interfering RNA. This is exogenous double-stranded RNA. That should ring bells as a virus. So exogenous double-stranded RNA that then translates to small interfering RNA, and that is a highly specific mRNA targeting via complete nucleotide pairing. The result is mRNA cleavage prior to translation. This is also a technique used in gene knockdown lab procedures. Once again, some more boring stuff, just genetic terms in general. So codominance, we know her. They share dominance. Some examples of codominance is blood type, alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, and HLA phenotypes. Next term, variable expressivity. Example is neurofibromatosis type 1. It has varied severities. The next term is incomplete penetrance. That is when you might have a genotype but not a phenotype. If, for example, the BRCA1 mutation doesn't always lead to cancer. To find the risk of a phenotype occurring, we are going to take the percent penetrance and multiply it by the probability of inheriting the genotype. The next term is pleiotropy. This is when one gene can cause multiple phenotypes, for example, cystic fibrosis. Next term, anticipation. Anticipation increases in severity or earlier onset of disease in successive generations. These are trinucleotide repeat diseases like Huntington's, Fragile X, etc. And then we have loss of heterozygosity. This is the two-hit hypothesis in tumor suppressor genes. We inherit a hit and we acquire a hit. This applies to retinoblastoma, Lynch syndrome, and Li-Fraumeni syndrome. Next is epistasis. Epistasis is the allele of one gene affects the phenotypic expression of alleles in another gene. Examples of this would be albinism or alopecia. Next term is aneuploidy. Aneuploidy is just an abnormal chromosome amount. Examples of this is trisomy 21, Turner syndrome, which is 45XO, and oncogenesis. The next term is dominant negative mutation. That is when a bad protein prevents the good protein from working. For example, a mutated P53 can bind DNA and prevent the WT wild type, P53 from binding. So that would be an example of the bad controlling or like overruling the good. Next term is linkage disequilibrium. This is when certain alleles occur in close proximity on the same chromosome. For example, the CFTR gene is really close to the HLA genes. Next term is mosaicism. I never say that right, but I did this time. Somatic mosaicism, see, I told you, is due to a mitotic error post-fertilization, whereas germline mosaicism is only in sperm or egg cells. If the parents don't have the disease, suspect that it was a germline mutation. For example, McCune-Albright syndrome is a GNAS activation mutation. This causes unilateral café au lait spots. I say café au lait, but I don't know how you pronounce it. These unilateral café au lait spots have ragged edges. You also get polyostotic fibrous dysplasia, which means bone turns into collagen. And then you can get endocrinopathies as well, like precocious puberty. That is the triad of McCune-Albright. McCune-Albright is lethal if it occurs before fertilization, but it is survivable with mosaicism. The next term is locus heterogeneity. This is mutations at different loci causing the same disease. Examples of this: albinism, retinitis pigmentosa, familial hypercholesterolemia. The next is allelic heterogenicity. This is different mutations at the same locus causing the same disease. For example, beta thalassemia. Next term is heteroplasmy. Heteroplasmy, the patient has both normal and mutated mitochondrial DNA, and this causes variable disease expression. The next term is uniparental disomy. This is when the offspring gets both alleles from one parent. It is euploid. And then heterodisomy would be heterozygous, and it's a meiosis one error, whereas isodisomy, I don't know how to say that, is a meiosis two error, or a duplication of one chromosome and a loss of one original pair. The patient with isodisomy, that manifests as a recessive disease when only one parent's a carrier, for example, Prader-Willi and Angelman. Isodisomy is like genetic imprinting, and that is a meiosis two error or a duplication of one chromosome plus the loss of another, which we know Angelman and Prader-Willi, so that is an example of that. Then we'll talk about the Hardy-Weinberg principle. The Hardy-Weinberg principle is the frequency of homozygous dominant plus the frequency of heterozygous plus the frequency of homozygous recessive is equal to one within a population, under the following assumptions: that there are no mutations, natural selection is not occurring, completely random mating, no net migration, and there is a large population. So she never happens, but they might throw you like a calculation. I don't remember if I've gotten a calculation or not. But yeah. Okay, moving on, you know, speak of the devil, we're going to talk about imprinting disorders. So as we mentioned earlier, this is one silenced, like one gene being silenced by methylation, and one gene is expressed. The expressed gene may be mutated, silent, or even deleted, which is why these syndromes arise. So the first one is Prader-Willi syndrome. This is when the maternal genes are silent and the paternal allele is mutated or missing. This occurs on chromosome 15, and it's of paternal origin. And the way that First Aid remembers it, and I like it, is Prader from Pop. So Prader is from Pop. Prader-Willi, O is for obese, overeating. And then the second P is for paternal deletion. The signs and symptoms of Prader-Willi syndrome is hyperphagia, obesity, intellectual disability, hypogonadism, and hypotonia. On the flip side, we have Angelman syndrome, also located on chromosome 15. In Angelman syndrome, the paternal UBE3A is silent, and then the maternal is mutated or deleted. So it's a mutated UBE3A on mom's chromosome 15. Signs and symptoms: hand flapping, ataxia, severe intellectual disability, inappropriate laughter, seizures. They call these patients happy puppets. And then First Aid gives the, like, memory aid Hails the Angels. So H-A-I-L-S, Hails, hand flapping, ataxia, intellectual disability, and laughter inappropriate. and then the S is seizures. And then they remember that mamas is for the inheritance or whatever. So mamas, it's maternal allele deleted, angel man, mood, ataxia, seizures. So there's two different memory aids to help with angel man's. We're going to move on to some X-linked disorders now. So in X-linked recessive disorders, we're going to see males more affected than females. It typically skips generations, and there is no male-to-male transmission. Remember, because male-to-male transmission, your dad, if you are a man or an individual with XY chromosomes, your dad gave you the Y. So you can't pass your X-linked thing onto your XY offspring. Females may be effective if the good X chromosome is lionized to create the bar body, shout out like 2 episodes ago, and then only the bad one is left. And that is the only time an X-linked recessive disorder will present in a female. So our first X-linked recessive disorder is Duchenne muscular dystrophy. The pathology of it, it's an X-linked recessive mutation. It is a frame shift deletion of dystrophin protein. And this causes progressive myofiber damage, which manifests as weakness beginning in the pelvic girdle, which moves superiorly. You're going to get a pseudo-hypertrophy of the calves, so pseudo-hypertrophy because it's actually fibrosis. They get a waddle gait. It has an onset of under 5 years old, and dilated cardiomyopathy is the most common cause of death. On diagnosis of Duchenne muscular dystrophy, you're going to get an increased creatine kinase and aldolase, and you're going to have a positive Gower's sign, which is where they they can't get upright. Here, I'll read you the description. The patient uses upper extremities to help stand up, classically seen in Duchenne muscular dystrophy, but also seen in other muscular dystrophies and inflammatory myopathies like polymyositis. The memory aid that first aid gave was Duchenne equals deleted dystrophin, death from dilated cardiomyopathy. So, on the milder side of that, we have Becker's muscular dystrophy. Becker's is better. It's more mild. The pathology of Becker's is an X-linked recessive mutation, but it's not a frame shift deletion. So you have a partially functional dystrophin, which means you get the less severe signs and symptoms, which manifests as like a later onset. And then we have myotonic dystrophy. Myotonic dystrophy, who I got a question wrong about today, but I'm not bitter. The pathology for this is that rather being an X-linked recessive, it is an autosomal dominant. And it is a CTG repeat expansion in the DMPK gene. This causes abnormal myotonin protein kinase, which causes percussion myotonia. What percussion myotonia is that, like, you go to shake their hand and they can't let go of that handshake. You also get muscle wasting, cataracts, testicular atrophy, frontal balding, and arrhythmias. And the onset for this is 20 to 30 years old. And so the first aid thing, which I really like, is CTG, stands for cataract toupee gonadal atrophy. Love that. Okay, so now we can talk about, I know that was kind of like interfering with the X-linked recessive stuff, but it was in the same sketchy as the other two, so I had to talk about it. Anyways, now to the X-linked dominant. X-linked dominant can come from either parent. If it's from mom, there's a 50% chance for daughters and sons. If it's from dad, 100% chance that daughters will inherit and 0% of sons will inherit. Examples of X-linked dominant syndromes: Fragile X syndrome, Alport syndrome. I don't know if we've talked about Alport yet, but we're bound to eventually. So some other X-linked dominant ones, we have hypophosphatemia, hypophosphatemic rickets. This is an X-linked dominant hypophosphatemia, causing phosphate wasting at the PCT, which causes rickets signs and symptoms. The next one is Rett syndrome. Rett syndrome is sporadic de novo MECP2 mutation. And it affects females over males. It is lethal to males in utero, so that's why it's only females. Signs and symptoms, they are initially normal, so they develop normally from 6 to 18 months, and then they regress or return in motor, verbal, cognitive ability. They have ataxia, seizures, scoliosis, and a stereotypic hand-wringing motion. On to mitochondrial diseases. The first one, mitochondrial myopathies. Example, Meloss syndrome, which is mitochondrial encephalopathy with lactic acidosis and stroke-like episodes. Then you also have MERF or MERRF. This is myoclonic epilepsy with ragged red fibers. And the ragged red fibers are due to the compensatory mitochondrial proliferation. Then also under mitochondrial diseases, you have Leber hereditary optic neuropathy. This is a complex 1 mutation in the ETC. It causes neuron death in the retina and optic nerve, which causes a subacute bilateral vision loss in teens and young adults. This affects males over females, plus or minus neurosigns and symptoms of tremors or an MS-like illness. Moving on to autosomal diseases, there are so many more than I'm going to talk about, but hopefully I'll talk about it later as I get into specific chapters. But starting with probably the most well-known one, we have cystic fibrosis. This is an autosomal recessive CFTR mutation on chromosome 7. It is a phenylalanine 508 deletion, which causes a misfolded CFTR gene. This decreases chlorine secretion, which causes a compensatory increase in sodium reabsorption via ENaC channels in epithelium. This leads to increased water reabsorption, causing abnormally thick mucus in the lungs and GI tract. They also have very salty sweat, and that is due to increased chlorine absorption, reabsorption in the sweat glands, as well as increased sodium. So how do we diagnose this? Well, we diagnose it with a chlorine sweat test, and that is a pilocarpine-induced test. They might have alkalosis with hypokalemia due to the loop diuretic effects of the ENaC channels. Also on diagnosis, we're going to have increased immunoreactive trypsinogen, which is due to the clogged pancreas, because it also affects the pancreatic ducts. Complications for CF are a mile long. I'll rattle them off. Recurrent pulmonary infections, Staph aureus as babies and kids, Pseudomonas aeruginosa in adults. We also have chronic bronchitis and bronchiectasis, which causes a reticulonodular CXR or chest x-ray. We have opacified sinuses, nasal polyps, nail clubbing, pancreatic insufficiency, malabsorption with steatorrhea, ADEK vitamin deficiencies because they're fat soluble, diabetes, biliary cirrhosis, liver disease, meconium ileus as babies, infertility in males because there is no vas deferens, and decreased fertility in females. This manifests due to the thickened cervical mucus. There is also amenorrhea. So how do we treat CF? We can treat it with aerosolized Dornase alpha, which is DNAase. We can treat it with inhaled hypertonic saline. These two things do mucus clearance. They increase mucus clearance. We can give them prophylactic erythromycin, ibuprofen to decrease inflammation, pancreatic enzyme therapy, CFTR modulators, and these help CFTR protein form in the correct 3D shape. The names of the CFTR modulators are and I'm going to try to pronounce it, lumacaftor and tezacaftor. And caftor is C-A-F-T-O-R. And if you notice, those both include C-F-T-R, which is the mutated gene. So lucky there. Now let's move on. And I'm not going to talk about any other autosomal ones. There's so many. But now I'm going to talk about the trinucleotide expansion diseases, which might follow that genetic anticipation that we talked about earlier. So our first one is Fragile X syndrome. Fragile X syndrome is an X-linked trinucleotide repeat of CGG and the FMR1 gene. This causes hypermethylation of cytosine residues, which decreases expression. Fragile X is the most common inherited intellectual disability. So yeah, the CGG repeats, they happen during oogenesis. 5 to 200 repeats, it's going to manifest as tremor, ataxia, and ovarian insufficiency. Over 200 is considered a full mutation. You get post-pubertal macroorchidism, which is big balls, long face, large jaw, large everted ears, autism, mitral valve prolapse, hypermobility, and self-mutilation. On a little sidebar, Down syndrome is the most common intellectual disability, but most cases of Down's is sporadic rather than the inherited like FXX has. Talking about some other trinucleotide expansions, Huntington's is CAG, autosomal dominant, and it impacts the caudate nuclei. They have decreased ACH and GABA. We have myotonic dystrophy. We talked about her. Fragile X, we talked about her. And Friedreich ataxia, who I constantly get questions wrong about. So these are GAA, trinucleotide repeats. It is autosomal recessive, and it causes an ataxic gait. So gait as G-A-A-I-T. Thank you, first aid. On to some autosomal trisomies. We have our three big ones, Downs, Edward, and Pitot. We screen for autosomal trisomies in the first and third trimesters. 21 is the most common, then 18, then 13. Monosomies are incompatible with life, so we talking about trisomies. Okay, so Downs or trisomy 21, signs and symptoms, intellectual disability, flat facies, prominent epicanthal folds, single palmar crease, incurved pinky, gap between toes 1 and 2, duodenal atresia, Hirschsprung's, congenital heart disease, brusque-filled spots, which are white spots at the iris periphery, early onset Alzheimer's, and that is due to an increased APP because chromosome 21 codes for the amyloid precursor protein. You have a whole nother extra chromosome 21, so you're going to have increased amyloid precursor protein, which predisposes to early onset Alzheimer's. You have an increased risk for AML and ALL. You have increased risk of umbilical hernias, which is the incomplete closure of the umbilical ring. So what does this say? There's the six A's of Down syndrome, which is AA instability or atlantoaxial, advanced mom age, atresia duodenal, AVSD, Alzheimer's, AML, ALL. Those are the six A's. If the individual is under 5 years old, it's AML. If they're over five, it's ALL. The pathology for Downs is this is a meiotic non-disjunction in meiosis 1. And it is, that's the most common mode of inheritance or whatever. Also, there is a 1421 Robertsonian translocation. That's the second most common. And then there's mitotic error post-fertilization. But like we said, the most common cause is meiotic non-disjunction in meiosis 1. To diagnosis, the first trimester, your ultrasound is going to have increased nuchal translucency. You're going to have hypoplastic nasal bone. And the markers are high. So high is going to be beta HCG and high inhibin. And first aid rights, you have to get high to get down. So yeah, the next syndrome, the next trisomy is trisomy 18. This is Edwards syndrome. Oops, sorry. And this is death by 1 year old. So signs and symptoms is Prince Edward, P-R-I-N-C-E, prominent occiput, rocker bottom feet, intellectual disability, non-disjunction, clenched fist with overlapping fingers, and low-set ears, prints. You can also get micronathia, VSD, omphalocele, myelomeningocele, and you diagnose this. It's the second most common trisomy in Edwards, so every prenatal screening marker is decreased. So ED in Edwards is every marker is decreased. The third one, third trisomy, is trisomy 13. This is Petit syndrome. Signs and symptoms of Petit syndrome: severe intellectual disability, rocker bottom feet, microophthalmia, microcephaly, cleft lip and palate, hollow prosencephaly, polydactyly, and cutis aplasia, as well as congenital heart disease, polycystic kidney disease, omphalocele, and these individuals die by 1 year old. We get midline defects in Petit syndrome, and that is due to a defect in fusion of the prechordal mesoderm. So a defect in fusion of the prechordal mesoderm causes midline defects in Petit syndrome. Now, talking about Robertsonian translocations, these involve 21, 22, 13, 14, 15, which you can remember by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, according to first aid. This is when long arms of two acrocentric chromosomes, which means the centromere is near the end, fuse at their centromere, and it loses two short arms. A balanced translocation, you're going to have no gain or loss of genetic material, so you get no phenotype. An unbalanced one, you get either missing or extra genes, and this is incompatible with life, or they get a chromosomal imbalance. Example is, forgive me, is cri du chat syndrome, or cry of the cat. This is a congenital deletion of the short arm of chromosome 5. So it's going to be 46XX or XY with a 5 P minus after it. Signs and symptoms of cri du chat syndrome is microcephaly, moderate to severe intellectual disability, high-pitched cry, that's the cry of the cat, epicanthal folds, cardiac abnormalities like VSD, and first aid rights, I cry when I'm very sad, so very sad is VSD. And then we also have Williams syndrome as a Robertsonian translocation, and this is congenital long arm of chromosome 7 microdeletion. The dead region includes the elastin gene, so the signs and symptoms of Williams syndrome is an elven face, intellectual disability, increased calcium, well-developed verbal skills, very friendly with strangers, cardiovascular problems of the, there is aortic stenosis, pulmonary artery stenosis, and renal artery stenosis. And for that one, I like to think of Legolas from Lord of the Rings. Okay, so that rounded out our talk about genetics. I'm so sorry it's so long. This is the longest one by date, and I can do nothing about that. But join me next time. We're going to go over nutrition, and that's it. And thank you so much for listening, and bye.